There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Good afternoon to one and all, and welcome to Barasti. We're broadcasting live from the rooftop garden down here at Barasti, where we are going to be situated for the next 3 hours. You're listening to The Grill. 3 hours of sports chat between now and 6 o'clock. Lots to look forward to as well. No Premier League action, but plenty going on in the Scottish Premiership, La Liga, amongst others of the European leagues. Action playing across all of the big leagues coming your way between now and 6. Also, we've got Spanish Grand Prix. That's got a pole qualifying ongoing as we speak at the moment. Cricket fans well catered for, with championship matches over in the United Kingdom, and of course the IPL, and plenty of rugby as well. Super Rugby and the Champions Cup final. Lots to look forward to. As always, you can have your say by texting us now on 4001. Equally, you can get in touch with the show by having your say on Twitter at Dubai Eye Sport. Or if you would like to get involved in the debate, then come on down here and be part of the action. As I said, we're broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Let's go!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Text us on 4001. You can have your say on Twitter at Dubai Eye Sport, or better still, get yourself down here to Barasti and watch all the afternoon sporting action in the glory that is the Barasti rooftop garden, or of course any of the other areas around town. Who's going to be joining me in our 3 hours of a walk through all things international sport? It is the Grill panelist, of course, joined by Ross Crist, who is in situ at present. Good to have you on board.
Good afternoon to you, Tom. Good afternoon to our listeners. Beautiful day down here at Barasti. Get down here last weekend before Ramadan begins, so we look forward to seeing you. We'll be up here on the rooftop garden till 6 o'clock, and come on down. The pool is in full swing. The beats are on, the ones and twos, and you can head on down to the beach as well.
Ross is here with all the latest, not just from US sport, from across the globe. And we've got plenty of guests to look forward to a little later on in the show as well. And alongside here is CVR. Carlos van Rosenfeld joins us here this afternoon. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, very good afternoon, Tom. And as you say, action-packed show, and it's all rugby-related. Of course, it's a European Cup final a little bit later on this evening. Racing 92 taking on Leinster. What a fantastic story that is. A lot of Super Rugby to get through. And then, of course, last night, European Rugby Challenge Cup, Tom, and unfortunately your team Gloucester missing out on an 80-minute penalty by Gareth Anscombe. Cardiff Blues winning that one 31-30.
Yeah, good game that one last night, and lots to look forward to this afternoon in terms of the rugby. Super Rugby ongoing at the moment, isn't it, CVR? That big one, the European Champion Cup final, that gets underway what time?
Yeah, that kicks off at 7:45 UAE time, Tom. And as you said, a lot of Super Rugby happening at the moment. What I can tell you is the Sunwolves, what a comeback they've had to the season. They beat the Reds 63-28. The Crusaders beat the Waratahs 31-29. Of course, that after the Waratahs leading 29-0 in that one. The Highlanders seeing off the Lions 39-27. And currently live, the Brumbies taking on the Rebels. Another Australian tussle there. 66 minutes played. Brumbies leading the Rebels 24 points to 10. The Stormers take on the Chiefs at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And then, of course, the big South African derby in Pretoria. It's happening at 7:15. The Bulls take on the Sharks.
And let's have a look at what's happening in the world of cricket at the moment. A couple of games to look forward to in the IPL today. There's one underway as we speak in the Indian Premier League. Kings 11 Punjab taking on Kolkata Knight Riders. Kolkata Knight Riders are 71 for the loss of one wicket with 13 overs remaining. Seven overs bowled. Chris Lynn's the man to have gone. He was bowled by Ty for 27, which means Naren and Utapa are at the crease, 40 and 3 respectively. Ashwin and Shran are bowling as we speak. So Kings 11 Punjab taking on KKR. Kolkata Knight Riders are 71 for the loss of one wicket. No Premier League action for us today, fellas, but plenty to look forward to tomorrow, final day of the Premier League season. It's been a packed week of Premier League action and stories as well. I suppose one of the biggest, CVR, is that Huddersfield, one of the lowliest teams, one of those that was favourite to go back down into the Championship after their promotion last year, stay in the Premier League for another season.
Yeah, and you have to say, well deserved to them. Of course, David Wagner, I'm sure, was a very, very worried man coming to this week, Tom. But I think Huddersfield can thank their early season form, of course, you know, beating the likes of Manchester United. They were up to fourth in the Premier League table, and I think a fantastic 1-1 draw against Chelsea in the week. But the Premier League, every single year, when you think it can't get any more exciting, it delivers once again.
I don't know if I'm alone here, Roscoe, going into the final day of the season. You want a few more permutations to be there. We're pretty much done and dusted. Maybe there's a little bit of a battle for that fourth position, that final qualifying position into the Champions League. But other than that, we pretty much know what's what.
Yeah, I like to see what the managers do with their lineups here when things are all settled down, because I like to see some of the younger players get in. It'll be interesting to see what Mourinho does with his United lineup. He's been talking a lot about some of these players that he won't expect to see there next year. Martial, one of these guys. So I just want to see what types of people they'll bring in off the bench, maybe get a chance, see how well they'll do with the big spotlight coming on them, and see what the lineup will be for next year's season.
Interesting days for the Premier League. All the action getting underway tomorrow afternoon. And if you are looking for somewhere to watch it, get yourself down here to Bresti, because all the games will be shown down here. And equally, for Liverpool fans, you'll be joined by three Liverpool greats who are in town. Hopefully, we're going to try and entice one of them onto the radio between now and 6 o'clock, because they're not far from here. They're over there at the moment at the West End. But Steve McManaman, Stevie Gerrard, and Gary McAllister all in town.
Yeah, and as you say, Tom, I think the appropriate word for them are legends. And it would be great to, find out from Stevie G how he's looking forward to his new role at Rangers. And
I don't think you're allowed to ask that.
You're not allowed to?
I don't think so.
Okay,
no.
Thanks for the brief.
Right,
you should have briefed me off air, okay. But anyway, that's fine. But Tom, as you say, absolute legends. And there are a lot of Liverpool supporters in town. So, yeah, get yourselves down tomorrow. Get to meet these guys, and I'm sure they've got some very interesting stories to tell.
The only reason I say that, CVR, is that I think Chris McCarthy and Robbie went along to the press conference midweek and were told they weren't allowed to ask any Scottish questions.
Fine.
So as things have changed.
Rude.
I only work
a bit rude.
Let's give you an opportunity to win, though. There is an exclusive chance to win the brand new Liverpool home shirt for 2018-2019 season. Signed by the first team squad, accompanied by a certificate of authenticity. All you have to do in order to get your hands on this one is head on down to Bresti tomorrow to join the legends, Stephen Gerrard, Steve McManaman and Gary McAllister, to watch Liverpool's final game of the season against Brighton. On ground, there will be an opportunity for two lucky fans to also win a trip to Anfield. So come on down, take pics and tag hashtag LFC World on Instagram. Registration for LFC World is free. Just head to the website, which is liverpoolfc.com /LFC World/Dubai. So get yourself onto there to get involved with that one. We are teaming up with the Sports Tonight boys to give you this opportunity to win this brand new Liverpool home shirt. So basically, you heard them talking about it on Thursday night. You hear us talking about it tonight. They'll also be talking about it tomorrow on Sports Tonight. And then on Monday Night Football, one lucky winner will be drawn from all the correct answers that come in over the 3 days. So how do you get your name into the draw? Well, you need to answer me this. What's the name of Liverpool's official anthem? What's the song that is most associated with Liverpool Football Club? The song that is sung before each and every home game, and it's one of the fans' favourites in the terraces the world over. So what is the unofficial official title of the Liverpool song that is sung before each and every game at Anfield? If you know the answer, text it to us, please, on 4001. CVR's on Google already, trying to work it out. Don't tell anyone the answer, all right?
I don't know it. I'm not a Liverpool supporter,
I'll
Tom. So you're safe.
Right, let's get back to a couple of the other big stories of the week. And one of them is emanating from Everton Football Club, where we understand that Wayne Rooney is on the road. He's heading over to the United States.
That's exactly right. He's heading to the nation's capital. DC United are picking up the Everton goal scorer. He's opting out, I think, of his 3-year deal he signed last summer to come over to Everton, the original team he started with in the Premier League. But he wants to get a taste of the United States, so he's heading to the nation's capital, the District of Columbia. He'll be starting up front for them. It'll be a good signing for them, I believe. I mean, he will bring a little bit of an impact, and he'll put some bums in seats as well. I mean, Wayne Rooney is going to draw people to those stadiums. So good signing for DC. Everton loses, one of the all-time greats, one of the all-time English scoring greats, but I'm sure he's happy moving over to the States.
Explain to us about DC United. Where do they sort of sit in the MLS? Are they a force to be reckoned with, or as you say, are they looking to sort of bring in a couple of marquee players to bolster the ticket sales?
Yeah, I think that's basically what it is right now. DC United hasn't, I don't believe they've won it in the last 10 years. Generally, the powerhouses have been up in Chicago, Toronto, New York's been good, and LA, of course, has been quite good. So it'll be good for DC United. This is probably their biggest signing I can remember to date of a foreign player coming on over to help out the ranks out there in the nation's capital. Currently, they sit in 11th right now in the Eastern Conference. So how it works in MLS, there's actually no relegation, as you know, Tom. So it's just basically where you sit on the table and you try to move up from there. But they only have 5 points this year, so they are doing quite bad. Atlanta FC, the Atlanta United FC, one of the newer teams in the MLS, sitting in first place right now with 22 points. And then in the Western Conference, we got Kansas City with 23 points in first place and San Jose Earthquakes sitting in last place. So DC United, have they been doing well this season? Short answer, no. But him coming over, they'll help out the ranks.
Football-wise for you today, we've got no games in the Premier League, but we have got 3 games in the Scottish Premiership, all those kicking off at 6 o'clock this evening. Dundee taking on Partick. Motherwell are at home to Hamilton and St Johnstone are at home to Ross County. Got Championship playoffs as well. Middlesbrough taking on Aston Villa. Always love the playoffs. They always provide some great stories, great games as well. Borough take on Villa today. This was after Derby beat Fulham in the playoff semi-final first leg yesterday as well. Derby were at home and got that all-important goal to take the slender lead into the next leg.
As you say, Tom, it's absolute cutthroat in the Championship now. And you've got to feel sorry for Fulham, especially the season that they've had. You know, I'm sure they were hoping to wrap that one up. But as you say, when it comes to playoff time, any team is in it. And well done to Derby. I was fancying Fulham for that. I thought they would get that win. But as you say, it just continues. And as you say, absolute dogfight. It'll be very interesting to see who comes out of this one.
Are you a fan of the playoff situation? So for those that don't know, basically you get the top two in the Championship that qualify automatically up into the Premier League. And then the four teams under that, down to the sixth place, will play each other on a home and away leg. Third place sixth and fourth place fifth respectively in those two games. Fair, after you say, you know, given the fact that, Derby finished sixth, didn't they? Fulham just missed out on automatic promotion, and yet they've got a mountain to climb in this second leg.
Yeah, I'm personally not a big fan of it, because I don't think that teams get rewarded for putting together a fantastic season. And, you know, Fulham were at one stage sitting in second position, and they fell a little bit off towards the end of the season. But I think, you know, I think that they really deserve to be promoted with the full season that they had. So, yeah, from a playoff perspective, I'm not in favour of it, but I guess at the end of the day it does bring a lot more excitement to the competition.
Other games to look forward to later on this afternoon. In Spain, you've got a whole host of games to look forward to from 6:15 this evening. Real Sociedad against Leganés is your early kickoff at 6:15. Then from 8:30 this evening, a load of games. Alaves taking on Athletic Bilbao, Deportivo La Coruña taking on Villarreal, Eibar at home to Las Palmas, Getafe at home to Atletico Madrid, and Girona at home to Valencia. Real Betis take on Sevilla also at 8:30 this evening, and then a late kickoff at 10:45 sees Real Madrid in action against Celta Vigo. Those two, as I said, kicking off at 10:45. Games also to look forward to over in Germany and Italy, but those games not kicking off until 5:30 and 8 o'clock respectively. So plenty to look forward to on the sporting front, and talking of that, we talk more sport after this.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
You're listening to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Barasti up here on the rooftop garden. You've got myself, Tom Urquhart, Ross Christen, Carlos van Rosenfeld alongside me, working through some of the big stories in the world of sport and giving you the opportunity to have your say as well. Do text your thoughts through on 4001. Also answers to win that new Liverpool jersey for the forthcoming season, next season. Exclusive opportunity with the Liverpool Supporters Club, which are obviously hosting the likes of Stephen Gerrard, Gary McAllister and Steve McManaman here at Barasti tomorrow. I just want to go back to one of the stories that we were discussing at the top of the show. This is the future of Wayne Rooney. So DC United coach Ben Olsen has confirmed the club's interest in signing Wayne Rooney, but Everton boss Sam Allardyce says the player has not asked to leave. Let's get the latest from Allardyce on this situation.
But Wayne Rooney, let's put this right, Wayne Rooney has not asked to leave, and neither has Wayne Rooney had a confrontation with me, or we've not been in any difficult situation in the time since I've been here, because we're two adults and we talk.
Yeah, there's some suggestions about guarantee of playing next season. I mean,
well, nobody can guarantee playing. And how as a manager can you guarantee anybody to play? Because if they don't play well, you can't select them. If they do play well, they stay in the team. And that's a simple fact of the matter. No manager or coach can guarantee a player his place in the side. My understanding of the situation is there seems to have been some negotiation somewhere along the line, but as in terms of the clarity of whether Wayne is leaving or staying, I'll find out a little more today when Wayne comes in for training later on.
Have you not spoken to Wayne up to now then? Has DC United not been in touch with the club?
I don't know anything. Well, I don't get involved in anything regarding transfers in and out or negotiations, so all I know is that there appears to be an interest from DC United, where that is and where that lies and where Wayne lies with it. I can't tell you at the moment.
What we do know, since that was recorded with Sam Allardyce, and he sort of seems to be distancing himself from the facts out there, American website TMZ has said the deal is not done, but there is some interest from RN. That's a direct quote to Ben Olsen, who is the DC United coach. You had a few thoughts on this one.
Yeah, I think, well, firstly, the deal's obviously not finalised because the transfer window in the MLS only opens in July. So I think, you know, that's obviously formally when they can announce it. But I think from Wayne's side, maybe he's looking at extending his career. He's 32 years old. The Premier League is ultimately one of the toughest leagues in the world. And maybe from a, I'm just saying, from a health perspective or body perspective, maybe he's not holding up as well as what he thought. And, you know, he can go prolong his career in the MLS. And as Ross said early on, he's a big, big draw card for the MLS. You know, a lot of people, we've all got very short memories, but what Wayne Rooney has achieved as a footballer, and especially in a Manchester United jersey, I mean, he was unstoppable, you know, when he made his debut as a 16-year-old for Everton and then went on to carry United for so many years. So he's exceptional. He'll put bums on seats in the MLS. And I think in that way, obviously, with this comes a big paycheck, Tom. Sure, you know, I don't think Rooney will come cheap. And I think he will be good for the game in America.
You look at the signing for Everton this year. 10 goals in 31 appearances. Good signing?
No.
Why?
I just don't think, you know, it was sort of the dream homecoming, wasn't it? It was the boy coming around, it was the closure of the circle, etc. I think they expected more. He's obviously not getting on with Sam Allardyce. There's no, you know, they're all being very polite there, saying that they're two adults. But Wayne Rooney would expect to start for Everton, and he doesn't at the moment. He's a bench player. Whether that's because he's lost a yard of pace or not, or he just doesn't feature in Sam Allardyce's plans at present. And what you can't deny is the fact that what Sam Allardyce has done with Everton is get them winning games, defending and defending scores as well. So he's seen them go up. So whatever is working for Sam Allardyce, Rooney doesn't seem to be part of that plan.
Yeah, and you know, you say those stats are not looking good for Rooney, and yeah, it is not looking good for a striker, but let's not forget the start that Everton had to the season under Ronald Koeman. They were really, really struggling for form. They were letting in more goals in games than what they obviously were scoring, so it was a really struggling patch for the team. And as I say, I think that that Rooney struggled to adjust to that. Of course, they brought the new manager in the form of Sam Allardyce, and as you say, Tom, you know, he had one thing on their mind. He had to save them out of the rut that they were in, which he did. And I don't think anybody's going to argue with him now that if he says, look here, Wayne Rooney's not part of my plans, I don't think he's playing up to scratch. He deserves to sit on the bench. Because at the end of the day, Sam has come there to do a job, and he's done the job.
Don't think that he will play tomorrow. Everton have their final game against West Ham down at the London Stadium tomorrow. That's the final game of the Premier League. Rooney, we understand, has a slight knee injury, and it's understood that he will not be part of the team that takes on West Ham tomorrow. So we'll keep an eye on that one and keep an eye on the future of Wayne Rooney. Yes, let's not forget what he achieved with Manchester United, record goal scorer for them. Let's not forget what he achieved with England as well. And I suppose you shouldn't. We're very quick, aren't we, to judge players on their current form at the moment. Last year wasn't the sort of. To be fair, I mean, towards the end of his Man U career as well, he wasn't at his best, was he?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, you don't have to be a scientist to figure out that he has lost a bit of pace, and you know, he's surely not as, to me, he doesn't seem as fit. His work rate doesn't seem to be as high, but of course that comes with age. You know, you don't have the legs that you used to when you were a 22-23 year old. So I think if Wayne Rooney really has to take a look at himself, yes, I think he's lost a yard of pace. He surely doesn't have the work rate that he used to, and he hasn't been on his best form. So I think a combination of those two things, I think it's very important for him in his career now to make the decision as to what he wants to do. And as we said earlier on, I think he's looking to prolong his career, and I think he will be very good for the MLS, and the MLS will be very good for him.
Final day of the Premier League tomorrow. We know Man City have been crowned as champions. Three more points for them would see them go to that 100-point mark that they're looking for at the moment. It's got to be, isn't it, tomorrow, surely?
Yeah, I don't see anybody stopping the City train at the moment, Tom. And, you know, how fantastic have they been this season? They've played some fantastic football. I think that Pep Guardiola, you've got to take your hat off to him. You know, he brought in this new style into the Premier League. Of course, last year, everybody criticised him for playing this type of style that he plays. But as you say, City have been absolutely invincible this season. They've played some fantastic football. And literally, as you say, they've broken, I think, nearly every single record in front of them. So well deserved to them.
They play tomorrow after all the games kicking off at 6 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And Manchester City, as was mentioned, are down at Southampton as well. Southampton, after their heroics midweek as well, be interesting to see how they bounce back against Man City. 3 points for City tomorrow for you, Ross Christ?
Yeah, easy. They're going to win this one. Roll them. Keep moving on. Get to the 100-point mark. Best team I've seen in a long, long time, that City team. It's really just been this and them and everyone else this whole entire year. So hats off to them. Pep Guardiola has put together a heck of a squad. You can put in their whole entire bench and they could probably beat most of the Premier League teams. So Premier League sides. So amazing stuff for them.
Let's just run through those games for you tomorrow. As I said, all games kicking off at 6 o'clock. And if you're looking for somewhere to watch the games, get yourself down here to Barasti, where you can watch it in the presence of some Liverpool legends, Steve McManaman, Steven Gerrard, and Gary McAllister, all down here watching Liverpool's final game. Liverpool, for that matter, are against Brighton and Hove Albion. But also there'll be coverage of Burnley against Bournemouth, Crystal Palace against West Bromwich Albion, Huddersfield Town against Arsenal, Liverpool, as I said, against Brighton, Man U take on Watford, Newcastle at home to Chelsea, Southampton entertain Man City, Swansea are at home to Stoke City, Tottenham Hotspur against Leicester City, and West Ham United against Everton.
Yeah, Tom, I guess the big interest, of course, will be the Liverpool Brighton game, and of course Newcastle against Chelsea, because if Chelsea happen to beat Newcastle tomorrow, which I kind of fancy them to, they go up to 73. If Liverpool, of course, lose that, they go out of the top four, which means they have to qualify for the Champions League next year. Or if they win it, they'll automatically qualify. So quite a lot to play for. But I think if you're looking at the table now, I do not see Brighton getting one over Liverpool. But funnier things have happened in the Premier League.
I was really surprised with Chelsea midweek as well. I watched that game on Wednesday evening. And they just didn't seem to turn up. You know, they've been on a really good hot streak recently. Changed the team before that game. Obviously, they got one eye on the FA Cup final in a couple of weekends' time. But why would you change a winning formula? It was bizarre.
They played so well against Liverpool, Tom, you know, and I think the way they got forward, I think it's one of the best games I've seen Hazard play. He seemed to be back to his old self again, and I honestly fancy them to give Huddersfield a hiding. And, of course, if they had won that game, it would have put them in a much stronger position to get that lucrative fourth spot, if you want to call it as such. But as you say, it's just like a kind of a blues from the weekend. They just, you know, didn't kind of get into their stride. The work rate wasn't there. I felt the commitment wasn't there from them. And as you say, Huddersfield, you know, came out of that match securing themselves Premier League football for the next season. And as you say, I just don't know if Conte couldn't get them up, if the players kind of decided to take it easy. But yeah, a very, very disappointing performance from Chelsea in the weekend.
Let's look to the other end of the table if we can, because we're pretty much guaranteed. Well, we know that Stoke and West Brom are down. That was sealed last weekend. And we pretty much know that Swansea are going down as well, because it would take something of a miracle, a statistical miracle, to keep them up. What would need to happen is the 3 points that separate Swansea and Southampton, but there's also a 10-goal difference between the two. So even if Swansea were to get the 3 points, they need to do it with 5 goals to their good and see Southampton ship 5 goals to Man City down on the on the south coast as well.
Now the second scenario can happen. But the first scenario, I don't quite fancy happening. And in all honesty, I really hope that doesn't happen, because otherwise Mark Hughes will be responsible for relegating two clubs in one season.
In terms of the season that we've witnessed, what's been the best part of 10 months of action that we've witnessed over the last down here at Barassi and elsewhere as well. I mean, what were the big stories to come out of the year? Of these teams that we see go to their summer breaks, and obviously a number of players will also have their eyes on the FIFA World Cup as well, who are going to be shipping managers in the off-season?
Managers? I think Chelsea. I think Conte's on his way out. I think, you know, there's the storyline's been there all year long. You look at Chelsea's history with managers, how they just run through them like bowling pins. He doesn't seem committed in his interviews. They don't seem committed to him. He seems like a guy who's kind of on those sidelines, and he doesn't – I just wouldn't say he has the same amount of passion. And, you know, you have to believe some of the locker room talk, some of the things you hear from the journalists, what we read on Twitter and what we read in the news. And it just seems like he's ready to go back home. And I think Chelsea is ready to shake his hand and say thanks for everything and send him on his way.
Rumours doing the rounds that David Moyes is on his way from West Ham as well. Something of a poison chalice down there at the London Stadium. Not sure who is going to take over.
But in all honesty, I don't think it was a good appointment from West Ham to start off with. You know, at the end of the day, I guess we can say he's done his job. He's kept West Ham safe. But, yeah, I just don't think, Tom, I know you're very close to the club. I just don't think he's a good fit for that club. So I think they're going to have to bring in somebody that, you know, can rebuild West Ham. You know, get them playing a bit of decent football. You guys didn't score much goals this season. I still feel that there's a good bunch of players there this season, but he just hasn't used them well at all.
Strange one, because the chat that Rafa Benitez is top of the list as well, but begs the question, why would you leave a team that finishes, 6 points above the team that you're going to go to?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be careful what you say, because a lot of supporters would get very upset there. But I think if Rafa had to make another move, I think it would be to one of the bigger clubs. I don't see him taking on a West Ham. As I say, I might be totally wrong. To me, the interesting thing is to see what Pochettino does, if he will be Tottenham boss for next season. He just kind of gives you the inclinations that, you know, if he gets another offer, he might have something on the table. It would be very interesting to see who Arsenal bring in for the new season. Of course, this is the big, big question on everybody's hands. And then lower down the pack, it would be interesting to see if West Brom, I know they've been relegated now, but if they will keep the current man in charge for the next season. I think he's done a fantastic job under the circumstances, and I think, you know, deserved. I think he deserves a job for a full season.
Mark Hughes stays at Southampton or not?
I think for now that they might keep him, but to me, I don't think it's the, especially the state that Southampton's in, I don't really believe he's the right guy to get them out of there. We see what he's done to Stoke this year, and I think, you know, I kind of think that they, you know, need to bring a guy back that can bring a little bit more stability. I think since he's taken over from Southampton, he hasn't really done anything fantastic. I think results have gone his way, which has steered them to safety. But, yeah, I don't think he's the man for the job there.
We've also got rumours doing the rounds that Claude Puel's days at Leicester are numbered as well, which I think is a bit of a surprising one because, you know, you think of, again, poison chalice. You've got a team that seems to rule the roost, you know, they call the shots. They're getting go through managers like a hot dinners at the moment. Claude Puel's done the job, hasn't he? He's taken them from flirting with relegation up to mid-table or some of that. He's got the results. He's not he's not the most flamboyant of characters or managers, but he gets the results.
You said poison challenge, and I think you've summed up that managerial position very well. Was
at Leicester,
yeah, because I think the owners are cutthroat and they expect nothing less in the Premier League, and it seems if you can't deliver in the Premier League, they just replace you. And you know, we saw what happened to Ranieri. He won the Premier League. I think it was 6 or 7 months later he was without a job. So yeah, I think it's a very, very tough place to work. As you say, they've brought him in. I think he's done a fantastic job. They will surely end ninth on the Premier League table. But yeah, I think it's a very tough employer to work for.
Are you listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from Brasti, where the game is always on? More from myself, from Carl, from Ross, after this.
Let's go! This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It is game on, indeed. Not many games on at the moment, because Premier League action is here tomorrow. I had a number of people texting in about the Premier League action tomorrow, people asking what time Steven Gerrard is coming to Barasti tomorrow. Just ask him, Steve, what time are you coming to Barasti tomorrow? Three-ish. Okay, he said three, so he's come down about three-ish or something like that. So he will be down here for the game. All the games kicking off at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. So get yourself down here to Barasti to watch those games. And Dan, thank you very much indeed to you for your text message a little bit earlier on as well. Said that we haven't talked enough about the big game, 8:15 this evening, Championship playoff, Borough against Villa. We talked about Derby Fulham a little earlier on. Borough Villa later on today. I mean, these games they always provide, don't they?
Absolutely, and
it's such a stake, I suppose.
Yeah,
it?
It's such an important game for both teams. I mean, Aston Villa, it's a big club, Tom, and you know a lot of people were very upset when, of course, they went down. John Terry's there now, so yeah, it's a big game, but. The aficionados like Chris McCarty and the boys, they seem to think that Middlesbrough have got a better chance there. But yeah, it's going to be an absolutely fantastic encounter. And as you say, it's really the cutthroat side of the season. And that third position has got so much money attached to it, because of course it does mean qualification for the Premier League, or the very lucrative Premier League.
You listen to Dubai Eye 103.8, also giving you the opportunity to win. Exclusive chance to win a brand new Liverpool home shirt for the 2018 to 2019 season, signed by the first team squad, accompanied by a certificate of authenticity. Head down to Barasti tomorrow to join legends Stephen Gerrard, Steve McManaman and Gary McAllister to watch Liverpool's final game of the season against Brighton. On ground, there'll be an opportunity for two lucky fans to win a trip to Anfield. Come on down, take pics and tag hashtag LFC World on Instagram. Registration for LFC World is free. Just head to liverpoolfc.com and follow the tabs there. If you'd like to win that shirt, all you have to do is listen to us today and, of course, to Sport Tonight tomorrow. Then one winner will be selected on Monday evening. One winner, one draw on Monday, but all the correct answers going into one hat to be drawn on Monday Night Football. So today's question here on the grill is this. What is the name of the official, unofficial, song that is sung before every single Liverpool game? It's a fan's favourite. It is the official anthem of the club. What's the name of the song? If you know the answer, text it please to 4001 along with your name, and you could be the proud owner of that brand new Liverpool home shirt for the 2018-2019 season, signed by the entire squad. Right, let's get talk more football, because one topic that we've just been discussing there, I want to dive into a little bit further, is the future of Arsenal Football Club and the future of Arsene Wenger. Is Arsene done, do you think? Can you see him getting another job, Ross Crist?
100%. I could see him taking a PSG job if that were to become available. I could see him, you know, if France have a good coach, right, have a good manager right now, but somehow they let go of their manager. Who knows? You know, he could head out to Asia somewhere. You know, I mean, he was out in Asia at the beginning of his career. I still think he wants to be somewhere on the sidelines. I still think he has a lot to give to the game. We have the World Cup coming up as well, so you could see him in the broadcasting booth. I'm sure a lot of people will be offering him contracts to, you know, either French broadcasting stations or anyone. He's a valuable asset for basically the broadcasting booth, maybe the management side of things, maybe works on player contracts. I just see him loving the game too much. When you saw him on that last game at the Emirates, and boy, what a send-off that he got there. He just seemed like a guy that wasn't quite ready to go. I mean, obviously he's been there for 20 plus some odd seasons, but he just in his post-match interviews, I just felt like he's a guy that still is not quite walking out on the game on his own terms. So, yeah, I think we'll see him on the sidelines, Tom.
Obviously, more tributes will be paid to the great man tomorrow, Huddersfield, to take on Arsenal. And we understand that Huddersfield have prepared something of thank you to Arsene Wenger as well, as he has his last game in charge of Arsenal tomorrow. What legacy does he leave behind? I mean, where do you start, I suppose?
Unbelievable. Ultimately, one of the greatest managers of all times, Premier League managers. I think the only one that exceeds him is Sir Alex Ferguson. But the interesting thing about Arsene Wenger is what he has done for Arsenal Football Club under a lot of situations that people out there aren't aware of. When, of course, Arsenal moved from Highbury to the Emirates, the club took on so much debt, he was limited to the amount of players that he could buy, he didn't have money to spend, and, you know, he always turned that team around. And as you said, you know, he's been very, very loyal to the club. He had a lot of offers during those 22 years, but as you say, Tom, he's just been absolutely inspirational, ultimately one of the greatest. And I still believe to this day that Arsene Wenger did not want to leave Arsenal Football Club. I think it was a decision made by the club, and they kind of said, look here, Wenger, you kind of need to resign. We don't want to fire you. We want to show you that respect. That's, as I say, my personal opinion. And I think he has left. Have we seen the end of Arsene Wenger? I definitely don't think we have. I don't foresee that he'll be coaching in the Premier League. But where I do agree with Ross, I can kind of see him taking on the French national team, or maybe even the English national team.
That wouldn't be a bad shout, that one, that's for sure. Let's get some thoughts then from a few of the Arsenal legends that played under the great man himself. There was obviously very emotional scenes at the Emirates Stadium last Sunday for his final home game. There will be more scenes up at Huddersfield tomorrow. Ian Wright has been giving his thoughts midweek about the legacy of Arsene Wenger.
People say, oh, he's going to hurt his legacy, he's going to damage his legacy. He will never be able to, for me, in my eyes, damage his legacy, because what we spoke about earlier in respect of what he's done for the club and how people perceive us, you can't damage that. You know, towards the end, you look at Manchester City, you look at Chelsea, you look at United, you look at all those teams that have taken us over, you look at the progression of Spurs, And that is going to be something that's going to bother the fans, of course. And that is hopefully something that will be rectified now. But, you know, what's got to happen is that Arsenal have got to, whether it's the owners or whatever it is, now they've got to be investing more. We've got people in and around the club at management level and board level that are very much more in touch with the football side, the recruitment, the academy. Everything's got to be pulling in the right direction for Arsenal to get back to where they're going. And, you know, it's a shame that it had come to, you know, that the boss had to leave. But we knew that at some stage he was going to go. And I'm just hoping that he will be remembered for the great stuff, because he's a great, you know, he's one of the greats. That invincible side, for me, they deserved a Champions League, but in the end, you can't deserve a Champions League or win a Champions League unless you genuinely do. So for whatever reason, he didn't get to the level of winning that, the Champions League, but it doesn't change anything for me, for what he's done for our club. It doesn't change anything, because he will go down as, for me, the greatest manager, because I believe he was the greatest manager.
Who on earth is going to replace Arsene Wenger there? That's the question, isn't it?
I think that's a tough one, and, you know, there's been a couple of names put forward, but it's going to be very, very tough to replace him. But I don't know, I kind of fancy Luis Enrique from Barcelona, especially the type of style of football he plays. I think it would be good to see him in the Premier
League.
Again,
why would you leave Barcelona?
Well, maybe... It's like anything, Tom. I think, you know, in life, it's like in any profession where you're looking for challenges. He hasn't been in the Premier League. Maybe, you know, it's something that he wants to experience. And I think Arsenal are ultimately a great club to start his career off with. But saying that, I don't see too many people on the list to fulfill the big man's shoes. I definitely think it's going to be a very, very tough job. And I think that makes the job even tougher, not just replacing Arsene Wenger. Let's be honest. Arsenal aren't in the best state of affairs at the moment. You know, they're currently sitting sixth. They're not in Champions League football, and the new manager that comes in will be on a lot of pressure, of course, to get them back into the top four.
Former player, there's been a lot of chat about that,
Patrick Vieira. I mean, you got to go with him. I think he knows the club well, you know, and he's been doing good things in New York. He's also done some assistant coaching back in England, so I do think he'd be on the short list of candidates to get at least get an interview and sit down with the Cronkies. I think that'd be a very, very good candidate for them.
We will have more thoughts on Arsene Wenger and Arsenal Football Club, but equally, if you'd like to share your thoughts, please do that now. Text them to us now on 4001. We've got practice sessions, the penultimate practice session taking place over at the Spanish Grand Prix, so we're going to keep an eye on that one for you. Qualifying gets underway at 5 o'clock local time here in the UAE, so make sure you stay tuned for that one. We'll let you know who is qualifying on pole for the Spanish Grand Prix this weekend. We have had a couple of big crashes already out there on the street circuit down in Spain. Hartley has crashed out. Hamilton was fastest in the final practice, Hartley crashing heavily, and electrical problems for Verstappen as well. Mechanics working on his car in the pits. Lots more to talk about with regards to the Grand Prix and other sports after this.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai iSport.
You're listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from Bristol, where the game is always on. Carl and I are having a bit of a debate at the moment about the Spanish Grand Prix. I can't remember Spanish Grand Prix being a street circuit. Can you?
No. So if you've got the answer for us, please text it on 4001. As I said, they are going to kick off qualifying. I think, Tommy, at 5 o'clock UAE time. What I can tell you is that Brendan Hartley has had a terrible crash. He does seem to be all right, but I don't believe he'll be back for the qualifying. As you said a little bit earlier on, it seems like the Mercedes of Lewis Hamilton, of course, was quickest in practice. He's followed there by his Mercedes teammate, Valtteri Bottas. Then the Ferrari of Vettel and Kimi Räikkönen. And then, of course, the Red Bull of Daniel Ricciardo.
I think I know what's happened. I think I'm watching a replay.
Yeah, I think that's what you're doing. But I think you're on a different. I think you're on a different circuit in a different country, my friend. In a different year.
It's Baku. There we are. It's last weekend, isn't it? That's a good old Grand Prix.
I'll tell you who wins too, Tom. Don't worry about it.
That's the replay that's being shown on the big screen down here. Barasti not qualifying, as is ongoing over in Spain, because that gets underway at 5 o'clock this afternoon. So we will see the Catalunya circuit, isn't it? It's Catalunya, isn't it?
I will double check that and get back to you, Tom.
Anyway, let's get back to Arsene Wenger. We're on safer ground on that one there. Let's get some more thoughts on the future, not just of Arsene Wenger, but also the legacy that he will leave behind at Arsenal Football Club. And what's next for Arsenal?
More than Messi against Ronaldo, more than which is the best league in the world, more than Jose Mourinho, we have discussed Arsene Wenger and his future at Arsenal more than any other topic. Well, today we got closure. Arsene Wenger announced he will be leaving Arsenal at the end of the season. What a tenure he's had at the Gunners during his 22 years. He's won 17 trophies, including 3 league titles. He has managed more Premier League games than any other coach in the history of the league. It's been a fascinating day in the way in which it's all played out. Boys, before I get your reaction, I want to bring in Julien Laurent to the show, because, Jules, when this was first announced, obviously it looked like Wenger was walking away at the right time. The more you seem to dig, and Gab Marcotti's written about this on FC, there are suggestions that he was asked to leave.
Yeah, let's say that he jumped before being pushed, basically. I think for the first time in 22 years, he felt the defiance of the board over his job, over his future. And I think before he had that sort of spell over the chairman or the board at Arsenal, where he could, you know, play his cards and somehow he would still be at the club and they would give him a new contract. But this time was different. This time felt really like a few people on that board. And I think it's no secret that Josh Kroenke, for example, Stan Kroenke's son, was one of the more pushing the most to replace Arsene Wenger. And I think Wenger really felt that, and he felt, okay, if that's the case, then I don't really have any other choice than going.
What do you make of the timing?
Well, I thought it might have been the summer, but actually, I think it's quite good now. It's somewhat a sense of a feel-good factor. That the negativity, some may have come from...
I think it's come from all of you at one stage.
Yeah, and I think, and I saw people, and a lot of people saying today when the news broke, oh, yeah, the ones that wanted Wenger out, they're all out now saying, you know, oh, well done, look at his trophies, and, you know, being two-faced and hypocritical. I don't think so. I think it's right, and only right, being our job to look at what he's been doing recently and how it's been going for Arsenal and compared to the other clubs. But also look at how Arsenal should be moving forward, but yet respecting what he did, particularly in the early years. So I think you can do a bit of both. I think it's great for them because they've got some big competitions to go, and obviously semi-final the Europa League.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big push for them. And I think it's just going to ease a little bit of pressure, particularly coming from the stands and the supporters.
You talked about the early years, Stevie. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Arsene Wenger over his recent time, but he was a revolutionary, wasn't he, when he came across? With regards to the way he changed the diet and the way the players thought about the game?
Yeah, I mean, Arsene was part of the change in culture in English football. You know, it was still about, you know, your first challenge was free. All that kind of stuff was still going on when he came. And he was part of the reason why all those things changed. You know, somebody like Cazorla that he brought in to play in the middle of the park. When Arsene Wenger went to Arsenal, that would never have happened. But as I said, he was part of the culture change, not only off the field, but particularly on it. And we should remember that. You know, it's one thing, as Craig says, you know, we talk about where Arsenal are right now. But I'll tell you what, we were saying the same things when George Graham got the sack, and we're saying the same things now that Arsenal's gone. And we should remember how fantastic it was, regardless of who you support, to watch Arsene Wenger's teams play.
And I think that was shown today, wasn't it, by the reaction? If you went on Twitter today, you would kind of be thinking, well, why was everyone so critical of Wenger? Because there were so many nice things being written about him, and his legacy will be remembered for his first half of the tenure, if you like, than the second one.
And that really, over the last couple of seasons, has been my concern about Arsene Wenger. The fact that he has built all these beautiful things at Arsenal, that he has put together all this beautiful career, and then over the last few years, it feels like he took a flamethrower and he was spreading it all over the place and just kind of doing away with whatever he had done in the past. The truth is that you look at the numbers, and the numbers themselves are impressive, but it's the changing culture. It's the fact that he builds a new training facility, a new stadium. All of this that Arsenal became relevant, relevant worldwide, relevant in terms of presence, relevant in terms of power. That became so with Arsene Wenger. But then they became irrelevant with Arsene Wenger as well. And that's when it was time to go. And that's why we have been critical in the past, because we all thought, you know what, it is time to move forward, it's time to change.
We talk about he changed the culture, but when the culture changed halfway through his, his term, he didn't change with it. You know, he was all about what used to happen. It was all about going out, picking out young players, bringing them in, building a team, doing it that way. And the culture now, and certainly the one that we can say he definitely didn't change with, is all about how much he spent. And he was a guy who did not want to do it that way. He said, I am not doing it that way. He stuck to his guns, but unfortunately, he got left
behind. Let's be honest, though. He did stay on too long.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter now. The decision's made. Whoever made it, not really bothered about that, whether it was him or the board or both, it's made, and they can move. I still actually think he can manage.
Right.
It's just I think he needed a fresh start away from Arsenal and a new project, and Arsenal the same. When Stevie talks about culture and changing diets and stuff, he must have, when he walked into Arsenal, he must have sat in the chair and he must have just fell backwards off it. Because those Arsenal lads, and most of us in that era were the same, those Arsenal lads never hide it. You know, the Adams, the Dixons, the Ray Parlors, the list goes on. That was the down the pub brigade. It was really, they were probably out 4 or 5. I don't know how many nights they were out a week, drinking, coming in, probably worse for wear. And so he managed to change the way the English lads, and that's the way they were brought up. He managed to change the way they did it, so that when the foreign lads came in, everybody was on the same page.
You mentioned the fact that he could go somewhere else, Jules. What next for Wenger?
That's the big thing, because remember on the show we talked a few times about how scared he was about the future. What happens to me once I leave Arsenal? What am I going to do with my days? So you can be assured that he's not going to retire for sure. He's going to stay in football. I don't think he will take another club, I'm pretty sure, and I was told that that's not what he wants to do. So there's two things. There could be a national team. You know, he can see himself as a head coach for a big country with a big project, not going somewhere exotic for the money. But I think, you know, if a big nation becomes available, I think he will be interested. And there's a few rumors already coming from France over some sort of director of football job somewhere. And I'm talking about France because maybe a PhD is something they will be looking into. So working with Thomas Tuchel, for example, the future manager, but overlooking the recruitment, overlooking the academy, maybe being the liaison between the first team squad and staff, and the chairman and the ownership in Qatar. And I think that's something that he would be interested in, not just a PhD, but that's that kind of job, of work that he would be interested in.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.